There's a story in the canon of a Brahma named Bhaka. The Buddha sees that Bhaka has some wrong view. Bhaka is just a Brahma. He's subject to birth and death, but he thinks that he's not. He thinks that he's found a permanent state. So the Buddha goes to, as they say in Thai, torment him to show him that he hasn't reached an undying state. Bhaka is very resistant, though. And by the end of the sutta, we're not really sure, even though the Buddha has showed that he has superior knowledge, superior powers. We don't really know whether Bhaka changes his mind. Mara appears in the story, too. Tells the Buddha, basically, oh, there were people in the past who thought they were awakened, but they really weren't. And they fell from that attainment. The Buddha's not fazed. And so then Mara says, well, in that case, don't teach. Those who were awakened in the past when they taught others were reborn in a coarse body, whereas those who didn't teach were reborn in a refined body. And as the Buddha said, he's not going to be reborn at all. He knows. And then he leaves. The story is very symbolic. Bhaka, of course, represents those who've attained high states of concentration and get satisfied. And Mara represents the attitude of those people who are satisfied. They don't want to hear that there's anything better. Whatever work they put into getting that concentration, they felt that's plenty work enough. And as for the ease they found, they don't want to be told that there's anything better. So it's a cautionary tale. When you gain some ease in the meditation, when you gain a sense of well-being, don't rest satisfied. If you really want the Dharma, you have to not only be committed to developing right concentration, but you also have to be very reflective. Is this really as good as it gets? The natural response is yes. The fact that we're trying to fight that natural response, that shows the extent to which the practice is unnatural. After all, what is the way of nature? Samsara goes up and down, and then up again, and then down again, and around. People work to get a better situation, and then they finally get something that they say is good enough. And for a lot of people, it's not even the jhanas. Just a sense of ease and well-being that come from attaining sensual pleasures, from having wealth. They get satisfied there, and then they get careless. We see this all around us. There are others that are more perceptive and realize that you need something that's going to be much longer lasting, much more solid. They train the mind. But then they reach a sense of well-being. In some cases, you can relax into a sense of well-being. You decide that's enough. And you don't want to be told that there's something better. In fact, you tend to look down on those who say there's more work to be done. I've heard some people say, what kind of path will lead to true peace that requires work? Causes should reflect results. They should be the same. So the path to true happiness should be a happy path. The path to the ultimate relaxation should be a relaxed path. But there are a lot of things in life where the causes don't resemble the results. The blackest coal gives rise to the brightest fire. The road to the Grand Canyon goes through a plateau. Everything is very flat. But you drive along and you get to the Grand Canyon, it doesn't resemble the road there at all. So it's not the case that ultimate peace, where there is no more effort, should require an effortless path. And John Lee has a good analogy. He says it's like fresh water and salt water. There is fresh water there in salt water. But if you were to take the salt water out and put it in a bowl by the sea, the salt wouldn't settle out, leaving just the fresh water. You've got to distill it. The fire of the distillation, that's an image for energy of right effort. Now, it's a refined energy sometimes. Sometimes it's gross, heavy effort, and sometimes it's more refined. But there is an effort in seeing that when there is a state of well-being, you have to check it again. Here we get to that principle the Buddha said, if you want to find the Dharma, one, you have to be committed to it, and two, you have to reflect. And it's our power of reflection. That's what allows us to see that there's something better. There's something wrong with the state of ease that we get. If we're looking for something that's totally reliable, there's got to be something better. And how can we reflect? Well, it's because the mind, as the Buddha said, is bright. That teaching sometimes is interpreted to say that the mind is naturally awakened, and you just have to let the clouds of defilement pass away on their own, and you'll reach its awakened nature. But when the Buddha says that the mind is luminous, luminosity is not the same as awakened. The mind can get luminous in states of concentration. The mind is luminous in an everyday sense, simply that it can watch itself. And it's that this quality we have, that we can watch the mind. That's what we have to use. And we have to bring it out at times when we may be very disinclined. The mind is resting. It's found a state of ease. That was the Buddha's insight, to see that that's part of the path. His earlier teachers had told him that the states of concentration were the goal, and all was a matter of finding the most refined state of concentration. But it was the Buddha's great insight to realize, okay, concentration is part of the path. You use the concentration for a higher end. So even though there is some danger in getting stuck in concentration, and we've been stuck there many, many times. Think of the Buddha's knowledge on the second watch of the night when he saw beings passing away and re-arising. Up and down, up and down, up and down. This is the natural way of samsara. What's unnatural about the path is that you get to a high attainment and you don't let yourself be satisfied. That, the Buddha said, was the key to his awakening. That his effort was relentless. Even then he put forth effort. Even then he did not let himself rest content with his skillful attainments. So the path is not one simply of relaxing. At the same time, just because people get deluded by the ease of concentration doesn't mean we shouldn't try to get the mind into concentration. That's not the path after all. The path requires that the mind get really, really still so that it can observe itself. If you push, push, push the mind without letting it get into concentration, it will go into a state of non-perception. It just blanks out. And people, when they return from that blank state, if they happen to be reborn in that blank state, they come back and they're kind of loopy because they've repressed their memories for so long. So even though there are temptations to rest in concentration and just want to stay there and be unwilling to hear people tell you, well, there's more work to be done, still you have to ask yourself, do you want to go down again? Because that's the problem with concentration, is that it lasts as long as the conditions are right. But if you simply eat the conditions, then when they're gone, you have to fall. The right attitude is that we're going to get here and then we're going to watch it. We're going to use this for a higher purpose, which may go against the grain. But then again, we've been going with the grain for who knows how long. I was reading the other day about someone saying he wanted to try something impossible because all the possible things have been tried. And look at the world we're in. You can change the words around a little bit. You want to try something unconditioned. You want to find something unconditioned because we've been through everything that is conditioned. Look at where we are. So even though Bhaka Brahma wanted to regard the Buddha's attainment as something impossible, something unnatural, why let yourself be limited by nature? Why let yourself be limited by what you've found possible so far? The path is not impossible. It's just our laziness makes it look impossible. And of course, it's not work all the way. We do get to enjoy states of concentration. It's simply a matter of not letting ourselves get deluded by what we enjoy. Even though that goes against the grain, it's a good way to go.